Welcome to The Social Pod, a podcast brought to you by Socknet 98, a network of universities sharing the common interest for social work in an international perspective.
And in this third episode of The Social Pod, we are going to talk about one of the field visits that we just had today. And with me here in our makeshift podcast studio in Leuven, I have with me one student and two other faculty. Let's start with the student Maren. Can you introduce yourself?
Hi, my name is Maren and I'm from Bremen, Germany, and I study social work at the University for Plant Science there.
Yeah, in Bremen.
Yes,
in Germany. Bremen.
Yes.
I've never been there before. You told me just before that it's beautiful. What is the most beautiful thing about Bremen?
It's kind of a really cozy city. It's big enough to do like lots of things, but small enough to know people everywhere. It's flat, so you can do everything by bike, which is nice. And there's a really nice river where you can sit when the weather is nice. So that's beautiful. Yeah.
That's very great. And you know what? Next year, in 1 year time, International University Week is going to be in Bremen.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Now you know it. And people that are listening in, and if you're a student with one of our universities in Socknet, then you know that you it's a huge possibility to apply for next year's International University Week. And then you can go to Bremen and you can visit Maren. The next one that is with her is...
I'm Jenni Herenlahti, and I'm a teacher from Finland, and I teach in HUMAC, University of Applied Sciences.
Yeah, in Finland. Is it cold there right now?
It's been cold. Yeah, it is cold, but not snow anymore.
Not snow anymore.
Yeah.
That's great. What has been your favorite moment here in International University Week?
Well, there are so many great moments. I think... talking to other people, that's the most interesting part. Yeah. And I've also loved these field visits.
Yeah, that's great. And Tim, who are you?
Hello, my name is Tim Vermeer and I'm a part-time teacher at Child and Youth Studies in Leuven, UCLL. And also I am the founder and director of Visit to ERAT, and we hosted a field visit today.
Yeah. ERAT organization, and that yeah. Lastly, just let me introduce myself. My name is Steinar Wikolt. I work as an international coordinator for the University of Southeastern Norway, meaning that we are one Norwegian, one German, one Finnish, one Finn. That's that's right. Finnish.
Yes.
One Finn.
I'm not finished yet.
You're not finished yet. Oh, now should we do it?
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And one Belgium?
Yeah, I'm a Belgian, yeah.
Yeah, you're a Belgian. Yeah. Tim, let's talk a little bit about what is ERAT?
ERAT is a small organization. It's relatively young also. We started in 2021.
Yeah.
Besides me, there is also four youth workers, and we support young people who grew up in socially vulnerable situations. To develop a positive identity, and we focus on the 20% hardest to reach, as 20% of the young people are responsible for 80% of the criminal numbers also. So actually we are a prevention project also.
Can you just explain that one more time? You said you focus on 20%
of the no. of yeah no 20% of the of all the youth is responsible for 80% of the problems.
Okay.
They take course.
And that is your focus
group? That's
our
target group, yes.
Okay. How do you target them?
Well, at first we really reached out to them and I started talking to a group from whom I know that they were in trouble and that they could use support, but they were not really asking for it.
Okay. Yeah.
But that was almost 10 years ago because ERAT grew from another project that I started.
Mm.
And then now we don't really reach out anymore because we have ambassadors. I call them ambassadors on the streets and also in prisons who speak to their peer group. And if they feel that they need support, they just bring them.
Okay.
So we don't actively search for them anymore.
They come to you?
They come to us, yeah. And that's what makes us unique, I think, because usually they get sent everywhere and they don't really want to be there. And now we found a way to make them come to us and ask for help. And that changes the relationship and it's really comfortable to work with them in that way.
What kind of help can they ask for?
Basically anything. We do a lot of individual counseling, but they decide what they want to share with us and what they don't want to share. So it could be I need help to find a job, it could be I need housing, or I just left prison and I have nothing left, no income, no house, nothing, and I have to start rebuilding my life. It could be anything.
Is it a physical place that you have?
Yes, it's I think about 300 square meters we have next to the train station in Leuven. So actually it's a really nice location, very accessible, very visible. And I find that important because they do a lot of good stuff and we want to be seen. We want them to be seen also.
Yeah. And both Maren and Jenny, you have been there this morning. How was it?
I think it was great. I was very inspired of it and impressed. And this kind of work is really close to my heart. I've done something similar things in Finland before I became a teacher. So I've been working with unemployed and unemployed young people, young adults. And we have outreach youth work and these kind of workshops for unemployed youngsters. And I think these working methods are very similar to this this place. So it was great. I was very lucky that I got to go there and to see Tim's work. And it was also really nice that you had these young people who are now like working there, who have been themselves struggling in their lives before. So,
meaning that people that has gotten help from ERAT now is working in ERAT?
Yeah, actually one of them was before ERAT existed, was in a project with me.
Okay.
Yeah. And I wanted to start my own organization. And so you have to have a board.
Yeah.
And so in the board is also a professor in criminology and very diverse. But also I find it very important to involve the target group.
Yeah.
So we ask them to be co-founders and board members of the organization. And now one of them works for us.
Yeah.
And we also just recently hired another one from the target group itself.
Yeah.
Because they have knowledge we don't have. We are social workers and we have some insights, but they have lived it and that's different. And we need them to make good decisions.
Yeah. Maren, what were your impressions when you were there?
I also found it really interesting, and also it was really nice hearing from the guys themselves about their experiences, and of course also hearing from Tim about all the great work he's doing. I think it's a really impressive project, and I think there should be more things like that in different cities.
What did the guys talk about?
Well, the one was talking about his experience in school and where they don't feel represented by the teachers because being persons of colors, and they're in Belgium, I guess, and also in Germany, I know there are like many people, many teachers are mostly white. So it's, I guess it's harder to relate to them if there's no one that's looking like you. And also many of the teachers have like what do you call it? Prejudices in their head about people of color, and they just think they're not worth anything. They're not going to make it anyway. They won't get a degree. So they let them know that they think that, and I think that's very, that's not good for a student to feel like that.
Yeah, I've actually heard that from more and more students, that they feel that the diversity of the teacher at the university is not good enough because they never see people that they can identify with. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
How is that in Finland?
Yeah, I think we have about the same situation, that the most teachers are like Finns and their skin color is white.
Yeah.
Mostly women.
Yeah. Hmm. We're trying to get more males to become social workers, but there's almost none. No male teachers.
Yeah.
Yeah. But going back to you, Tim, and your organization, what is the things that you're trying to teach social workers when they came to see your organization? What is the things that you would like them to take back home?
Well, I always focus on the inequalities and the system, the mistakes in the system and what it comes from. And it has to do with politics, also the the teachers and how society is structured. So and nobody chooses to be born in poverty or in a vulnerable situation. Everybody would like to be rich, or where you are born defines for some part the chances you get in life. I find that very important. So I always give some theoretical insights, and I'm always happy. I always ask some of the target group to join me because I can talk about it, but I haven't lived it.
Yeah.
So and then they can give examples out of their lives, and usually they do. I also think they did today. And then the importance of participation.
Yeah.
We really make the target group responsible for our own organization. They are involved in almost everything, in the board, in the staff, in what we do every day. Even when we hire the new colleague, we ask them what they need. One of them was with the job interviews and got to decide who we would pick. And that also makes it more for them, and they don't want it to fail. So they feel responsible, they correct each other, and it's hard to get started and it's slow. But when it works, and it's really, I'm a true believer of participation. It's one of the most important things, I think.
Yeah. What would you say is the challenges by running an organization like this?
Well, if the government was a business, it would be shut down, I think.
Why?
Financially, it's so difficult. We have to make sure we convince a lot of people that they support us. And even now, I think the local government is really a believer of what we do. I feel really supported, but the cash flow is terrible. We are still waiting for our money from this year. So we have to work with loans and stuff like that just to pay the wages. And that causes a lot of wasted time, frustrations. One of my qualities is that I'm stress resistant, I think, and you need that.
Yeah, absolutely.
No, but that's the main struggle, I think.
But you said that you worked on projects before. I forgot to ask you. Are you a social worker?
I'm a social worker, and besides that, I also studied criminology.
But when along this way did you figure out that, hey, let's start a project, like an organization as a social worker?
Actually, I wrote my thesis about something interesting that I wanted to try, and then I started working in 2009, and I already spoke to my boss then. And then in 2015, I finally got the opportunity to really start it up. So you have to be patient also. Resilient, because you get a lot of no's before you get a yes. And then in 2019, I started my own organization, and we got fundings in 2021. So it's been a long journey.
But we're thinking about that, because as a social worker, you do see a lot of inequalities in society. You see a lot of problems. And sometimes you're sitting there just thinking, why can't anyone fix this? But sometimes you actually get the idea yourself. I think I know something about how to fix it. But what should you do then? How do we teach our students how to actually solve these kind of problems? Do you think so?
I always try to teach my students that if they see something, they should raise their hand, and if they have a solution, they should speak up.
Yeah.
But I don't know if that's enough in our program.
Yeah.
How to start a business, that's not something we focus on.
No, because sometimes you can speak up also, you can write in the newspaper, you can start demonstrations, but sometimes you also have to make the solution. No, in Norway, at University of Southeast Norway, for the last, I think it's about 15 years now, we have something called social entrepreneurship. So our third year students, they can choose to write a regular bachelor thesis, and go on a regular practice placement, and then write a regular bachelor thesis, or you can choose to become a social entrepreneur. And then that means that you actually is going to start a firm. We call it in Norwegian a study firm. So it's a legal entity you actually start together with your students in your group, and you need to have an idea about what is the challenge. And when you have identified the challenge you would like to fix, a social challenge, you're then going to try to write a business idea, a business proposal on how to actually fix this. And then you start about learning how to pitch. how to get the funding, how to get other people interested in, also in how to get, how can you make this sustainable in a way that you're actually talking about, Tim, mm-hmm. how to get money to make this actually go around. Mm-hmm. So it's a little bit, it's not only free work, it's also actually running an organization efficiently with proper economics. And after that, you write your bachelor thesis on what you have learned and what you have done. And after that, you actually close down the company because it's only a student company. But a couple of our students, they also start the firm back up as a real company afterwards.
That would have been very helpful for me, I think.
Yeah. Do you have anything like that in the other universities here?
Well, yeah, I in HUMAC, we also support people to be active also.
Yeah.
And our degree is not exactly social work. It's NGO and youth work.
Yeah, that's right.
So we have a lot of studies also to related to NGO and how to get money for fundings and about how to communicate and or develop your communication skills, for example, and how to manage financial things, budgeting, for example.
Yeah.
So yes, we are focusing on that.
Yeah. How about you, Martin? Have you learned anything about this in Bremen?
No, actually I haven't, but I do think that there is at the Hochschule one, I think it's called Freiraum, so it's like a free space.
Yeah.
And they do talk about entrepreneurship there, but it's like not in the context of social work, so it's like for all the different subjects. And I actually was there once, and she was the person that was like responsible was telling me that they always want more social worker students to get there, but most of them don't even know about it. And I think lots of social workers don't have that in mind when they start studying to like be an entrepreneur or themselves.
Yeah.
But I'm pretty sure, I think that's very important. And yeah, it should be part of the courses in some way.
Yeah, or something that you can choose to learn a little bit more about.
Yes.
Yeah, because I think also there's different kind of cultures. Like at my university, we also have a business school in our university. And the way that they look at entrepreneurship, it's the classical way of entrepreneurship. Mm-hmm. So when we meet them, we're talking about social entrepreneurship and they talk about entrepreneurship. We do approach this from different ways. Mm-hmm. So even though it's entrepreneurship, is different cultures when it comes to the different schools. But yeah, in Norway now, social entrepreneurs are being seen as a good, sustainable way of actually getting some solutions to the social problems that we have. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, thank you so much for this episode. Thank you for your reflection, and thank you for Tim for sharing how your organization runs.
You're welcome. Yeah.
That was very nice. Mm. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.